Greet you all in Jesus' name, the one who rose from the dead. Just read recently that Easter is now the most attended service of any time, even more than Christmas. Many people who do not go to church regularly will attend church this morning. I think there's an indication that within all of us we have this hope that at least if we attend church on Easter and celebrate and worship Jesus who rose from the dead, that there will be hope of eternal life someday. It's amazing what all we as humans will do to try to ensure that. And I've told other people that it's in some ways it's amazing to me, and yet at the end of life, how many funerals there are, people who may have not professed Christianity or even to know God. But somehow, in their service, there will be some indication that they have made it. This morning, I'd like to talk about not only how we can make it, but how we can have a life worth living until God calls us home. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. That's the title of my message this morning. As I thought of what to preach this morning, my mind kept coming back to what does the resurrection mean to us as Christians? How did this one event change history and the way we look at life? And the more I pondered that, the more I realized how incredibly important this event is to us. You know, I can only imagine the excitement that the disciples and the women who went to the tomb when they realized that their hopes were not in vain. You know, even though several days earlier it had appeared that Jesus was defeated, it was only a short time, 3 days, until the disciples and the women witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. And then today, around 2,000 years later, we still proclaim the joyful sound that Jesus is alive. I would like to ask for your participation throughout this message. It will go like this: I will say the Lord is risen. You respond by saying, "The Lord is risen indeed," and then we all say, "Hallelujah." The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I have 3 points that I'd like to bring out in about the resurrection, and after each of these, we will have that response. The first one is the resurrection gives our faith substance. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. I would like to read this entire chapter. It is known as the resurrection chapter. Sadly, somehow the Corinthians had been influenced by others in saying that Christ did not rise, and in effect, because of that, there will be no resurrection. And Paul lays it out very clearly and says, look, this is what happened. 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greatest part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the law, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. First point, the resurrection gives our faith substance. What do I mean by that? Well, in verses 14 and 17, it says that if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. And then in verse 17, it basically says the same thing, that your faith is vain. The vain in verse 14 means empty or unreal. So if Christ did not rise from the dead, then our faith is empty or unreal. And in 17, it has just a little bit of a different connotation. It means without use or frustrated. So our faith is useless or it is frustrated if Christ did not rise from the dead. A principal doctrine of Christianity is that Christ rose from the dead. And if that did not happen, then our faith is built on something false. Down through the ages, since Pentecost, Christianity has been preaching Christ's resurrection as a cornerstone of our faith. If Christ did not rise again, then there is no reason to believe that Christianity is different than any other religion. Have you ever thought about that? If Christ did not rise from the dead, then Christianity, could we say, is on a level playing field with all other religions. The fact that our God is not dead, but alive, gives credibility to our faith. The strength of our faith relies on the one to whom the faith is put into. So if the strength of our faith is in a dead person, like many of the religions of today are, there's not much strength there. But praise God, the strength of our faith is in a God who is alive. Jesus said if we have the faith of a mustard seed, faith as a mustard seed, that we can move mountains. Now the mustard seed is very tiny, but the way I understand, when it is grown, it becomes like a type of tree. Faith in God is not as dependent on how much faith I have as it is in placing my small faith in a great God. I know from experience that God honors honest hearts who place their faith in Him without doubting. You know, God doesn't say that we can't question Him. And recent events, you know, make us ask questions. But He does have strong words for those who doubt. God wants us to trust in His goodness and to place our faith, even if it is small, even if we feel like it is very feeble, in a God who is alive and who is powerful. And it's not as much dependent upon how big or how small our faith is as it is in the person that we place our faith in. And really, the resurrection gives our faith, that substance. It is not vain. Praise God, it is not vain to trust in God because He is alive. The People's New Testament commentary says this about the phrase, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain." If that were true, in that case, He is not the Savior. He is a dead man who could not even save himself. Such a one has no power to pardon sins, and ye are yet in your sins. Verse 17 says that. If Christ is not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Praise God, we do not need to be yet in our sins. We have been promised through the resurrection the power to overcome sin. Someone has said that Christianity is unique from other religions and that there is forgiveness of our sins. Most other religions, you have to pay, and you have to pay, and you have to pay, and you continue on paying for your sins, and when it is all done, you are still left wondering whether you've paid enough to receive forgiveness. How depressing. How frustrating. Think of other religions that you know of. Hinduism. Islam. It is based upon a fear of God and wondering, will I do what it takes in order to somehow be accepted by God and, in their words, maybe receive forgiveness for their sin? The resurrection gives power to forgive sins, and we can have peace that the world cannot give and can't take away. I remember someone asking a group of people, what in one word would you describe as your experience when Christ came into your life? And I'm sure there's numerous ones, but the one I think of the most for me was peace. Peace from guilt. Peace from not feeling like I can't do it on my own. Jesus Christ's resurrection brings peace that the world cannot give and they can't take away. Praise the Lord. The peace God gives is an incredible gift that can be only experienced by those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. In John 14 and in John 16, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then in John 16, he says, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye believe now? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise God for that peace. How can I know that my faith is not in vain? Jesus has brought forgiveness of sins and a peace that passes understanding to our hearts. It does not have to be an intellectual or philosophical in nature, but can be truly experienced. When Christ's resurrection power comes alive in our hearts, our faith is a living and vibrant because of who it is in, Jesus Christ. The resurrection gives our faith substance. Our faith can be in a living, resurrected Lord. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. My second point is the resurrection gives spiritual power. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. The resurrection gives spiritual power. Romans 6, verses 1 through 8. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 4 talks about that if we are dead with Christ and raised with him, we should walk in newness of life. How do we walk in that newness of life? I believe that it is the spiritual power that God gives us through the resurrection. Now turn to two chapters over to Romans 8. And I'd like to read the first 16 verses here. Romans 8, verses 1 through 16. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 11 especially brings out this thing of the power that we can have as Christians if we die with Christ. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, said that he wants to be found of him, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, which is of God by faith. And in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I believe a key to having the power This power in our lives is found in Galatians 2:20 that says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, in order for Jesus to rise again, he had to die. And I believe in order for us to experience the resurrection power, in our lives, we need to die to ourselves. It is the basic ingredient of being a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, Luke says daily, and follow me. Unless we are willing to die to ourselves, I believe we will never experience the resurrection power in our lives. Peter calls this power being partakers of his divine nature. 2 Peter 1:3 and 4, and I'll read. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's a beautiful thought. He says that the divine power has given us all things that we need to live holy lives and that we need for life. And then he says we can actually be partakers of that divine nature. I believe that means that God fills us so that God's divine nature actually becomes a part of us. As a people, I think one of the blessings that has been handed down to us is that most of us have learned how to discipline ourselves. We've been, for the most part, a disciplined people. Discipline is good. But if that is all we rely on, we miss out on the divine power that God has made possible through the resurrection. It reminds me of something that I haven't forgotten that Oren spoke of. Are we living out of self-discipline, or are we living out of the divine nature that God has placed within us? Are we living out of the natural, or are we living out of the supernatural? Paul, in writing to the Romans, calls it quickening our mortal bodies, or to make alive. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That speaks of me as this quickening power that God wants to instill within us. Through Christ's resurrection, we are given a power that dwells within us that enables us to live above sin. I fear too often we focus on what Jesus' death did to atone for our sins, and truly that is a powerful thing. But we don't move on in the power his Spirit brings to our lives. In some ways, we could say we stop at his death and we don't move on to the resurrection. It's not that we don't believe in the resurrection. It's the way we live our lives, we, in a sense, rejoice that we are free of our sin and maybe focus and kind of stay in that position. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to give us the power in our lives to live above sin, above the law. It's not the law isn't relevant. It's just that with the power that he enables us, we need not focus on the law. We can live above the law. But if you're like me, you struggle to live in this reality, the reality of God's power, the God's resurrection power. Because it is easier to rely either on our own discipline or on outward restraints and not allow the Spirit to be directing me and the Spirit to fill me and empower me. I keep thinking of the illustration that Laban gave that has to do with that. He said that man that he worked with had a drinking problem and had one accident and later on was instructing others that he should have known better than, you know, when he drinks, he needs to remember to get a designated driver. That was his outward restraint. Later on, he died because he forgot that outward restraint. You know, at least I shake my head at that logic. Why drink and then justify it by saying, well, I'll get a designated driver? But you know, what about ourselves? Are there ways that we do that with the areas of temptation that we face? We rely on some outward restraint instead of saying, God, I want you to fill me. Give me the power to live above this. So the question I'm asking myself, am I living in the reality of Jesus' resurrection power over sin? Or does it feel like I just kind of limp along, possibly even in my own strength, trying to overcome sin, when Jesus says, die to yourself, and I will give you a power that you can live above sin. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I think the key, one of the keys to allowing Christ's resurrection power to be a reality in our lives is to recognize that we cannot live unto ourselves. We need to die to that. Because that is the only way that Jesus Christ could rise again, he needed to die. And the same is true for us in our spiritual life. If we want to experience that life, that resurrection power, we need to die to ourselves and recognize that we can't do it on our own. That's another thing that I've been challenged with. I think I've grasped the idea that salvation is not something that I can do. But to continue to tap into the grace of God on a daily basis, recognizing that I cannot live the Christian life on my own as well. I need to die to that and allow God's power to allow me to live as he would have me live. Now your response. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Now the last point, the resurrection gives hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, in the English Standard Version, it reads like this, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. The King James says we are of all people most miserable. I've looked at that and I said, I understand at least part of what it's saying. But we have hope in this life as well. And I like to look at that. I think maybe what Paul was saying here is, if as Christians we suffer, deny ourselves what the world has to offer, it would be disappointing at the end of time to find that there is no future. You know, if there were nothing after this, if we would endure hardship and all that can go with Christianity and find out there's nothing beyond that, it's like he says, if there is no resurrection, well, then we may as well live it up. But praise God, the resurrection gives hope. I would like to suggest that the resurrection gives hope for the present in two ways. The first one, it gives hope in the fact that Christ's power is stronger than any situation we will face. You know, when we think of hope, we often think of, well, there's hope beyond this. And I will get to that. We have hope of eternal life beyond death. But there is hope that we can experience today in the fact that no situation is hopeless. You know, if you're like me, you have looked at situations and you say, it just seems hopeless. But we serve a God who is a God of hope. No situation is hopeless to him. Again, I bring us back to the days of when Christ died. He was crucified. All those who had staked their hopes on Christ, their hopes were dashed. To them, it was a hopeless situation. Yeah, Jesus had told them, I'm going to die and then I'm going to rise again. But so many of them missed it. And it wasn't until after the fact that they were like, oh, yes. Now remember Jesus talking about that. But imagine the hopelessness that they felt. They felt like Satan had won until the first day of the week. And something that I read this week that I never really thought about. When the women went to embalm the body of Jesus to pour spices, they all of a sudden on the way were like, you know, we didn't think ahead. Who's going to roll away the stone for us so that we can get to the body? They were not expecting to find an empty grave. They were expecting to go and give him a proper burial, as it says. Imagine the heavy hearts that they went with. Yeah, they wanted to do what the proper thing was. And the incredible joy and hope that all of a sudden sprung in their hearts as they went and the stone is rolled away from the tomb and they go in and there's no body to cover with ointment and spices. That is just a picture of the God of hope that we serve. No situation is hopeless. And you know, the Bible is full of stories of lost hope until Jesus came along and restored the hope. I too was reminded of what Angela talked about, the lady who had the issue of blood. Imagine the hopeless feeling that she had. What does it say? She had gone to many doctors, they could not figure out what was wrong. In that time, anything she would have touched would have been unclean. She would have been an outcast. She would have been rejected. She had this one hope left when she heard about Jesus. And she went and she touched his garment. And one thing that was especially precious to me was that when Jesus turned around and he found her and he talked to her, he said, daughter. That's an endearing term. It means you are precious to me. And as Angela said, Jesus met her at her point of pain. Not only physical pain, but the emotional scars that she had. And here he addressed her as daughter and said, "You are precious to me," by saying that. It's just one of the many stories that we read in the Bible of how God is a God of hope. It is because of the resurrection that we can have that hope, because he is a God of hope. I would just like to say to those of you, if your situation looks hopeless, remember that's from your perspective. Our God is a God who wants to meet you at your point of need and to give you hope in that hopeless situation. And it also is a blessing to know that when we look at a situation, we say, "My, it's going to take God to work in that." That's when we're recognizing that he is a God of hope, and he can bring hope to those hopeless situations. The second point about how the resurrection gives hope is that it gives us hope today because we know that this life is only temporary. This hope is anchored in the fact that Jesus broke the bands of death and has promised that death is not final, but merely a transition from the temporal to the eternal. And you know, we need those reminders too. When life seems especially hard, we need the reminder that this is only temporary. Someday, we will meet the eternal. Just want to read numerous scriptures that bring this out. John 11:23, when Jesus was at the graveside of... his name is escaping me. Mary and Martha's brother. Lazarus. "Jesus saith unto her," this is to Martha, "thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." 2 Corinthians 4. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall also raise us up by Jesus and shall present us with you." 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Revelation 1:17, Jesus speaking. later on. And this is John saying, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of death and hell." The resurrection gives us hope. Gives us hope in two ways. One is that his power, as Arlen led us so well in seeing, he wants to bring beauty out of ashes. That's here and now. That's the kind of hope that he offers us. But then we also have the hope of eternal life, of someday, this is all temporary. Someday we will move on to the eternal. And those of us who have lost loved ones, those who are close to us, we take comfort in the fact that this is only temporary. And we've had many reminders of that just recently. And we will continue to have that. But we can have hope if we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and die as he died, so that we can have that experience, that resurrection power in our lives, and someday also experience the resurrection of our bodies as Jesus experienced. Now I ask for your response. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah. Let's kneel and pray. Yes, Lord, we say hallelujah. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, who died, rose again. And we worship you. We remember that today on this Easter Sunday. Lord, we just rejoice in the fact that you bring newness of life. You bring hope to hopeless situations. And Lord, you give us hope that we know that this is only temporary, the life we're living right now. And someday we will meet you where we will eternally be with you. Lord, you have said and you have invited us to come and join you. But you've also, Lord, given us direction in what we need to do. And so, Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that has not experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in their life, to cleanse them from their sins, to turn from their wicked ways, that they would do that. Because your invitation is open as long as, Lord, as we have life, and as long as Jesus Christ does not return. Lord, I pray that we would not live in the flesh, but live in the power of the resurrection that you give us, Lord, as we die to ourselves. And I pray, Lord, that as we do that, that we can live lives that honor you and that point others to you as the resurrected Lord. Pray this through Christ. Amen.